I told you that we had something very special for you tonight. It's special for me because it involves my son, Pastor Roy Grant, and also my grandson, Carl Grant, who is the son of my oldest son, John Grant Jr. And Carl is one of a kind, I got to tell you. The one and only Carl Grant. Tonight we're going to be speaking from Luke the 15th chapter, starting with verse 11. This is the parable of the lost son. First, I just want to explain that there are three parables in Luke 15. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, commonly called the prodigal son. Now, when Jesus gave these three parables, he actually covered every lost person in the world. In other words, everyone fits under one of these categories. The lost sheep is a person who did not intentionally walk away from God, but just got involved in a lot of unwholesome situations and strayed, maybe let down on his or her prayer life, and a good number of things just overwhelmed that person and took that person away. Nevertheless, the shepherd, that is God, went out to find him. And then the parable of the lost coin. Now, the lost coin represents the person that's displaced. I didn't say misplaced, but displaced in society. Now, that would be perhaps a grandson or great-grandson of someone who strayed, or maybe even a prodigal that just walked away. There are a lot of displaced people in the world. There are thousands, yea, even millions of people in this world who fit into that category. This is why we have missionaries all over our world preaching the gospel to people that some have never heard of the name of Jesus Christ. So they're out there preaching the gospel. Then the parable of the prodigal. The prodigal is a person who intentionally walks away, just decides, I've had enough. Getting out of here. And he goes and just demands of the Father that which he feels is his. In other words, he's going to receive his inheritance ahead of time. But keep in mind that when this happens and God gives him his share, he's actually cutting off the blessings of Almighty God that follow. Now, I'm going to be representing the position of the father. My son Roy will represent the position of the elder son. And Carl is going to represent the prodigal. And I'm thankful that the prodigal, in a true sense, Carl, has come home. Praise God. That's great. So from Luke 15, verse 11 and 12, and I'm not going to read all this because they will be reading part of the parable. And he said, a certain man had two sons, an elder son and then the son who was a prodigal. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. In other words, gave him what he felt was his. I'll give you your reward right now. And this is how much it is. And if you want to cut ties with me, you can do it. But nevertheless, I'm going to give you the power to choose. And that he did. So at this time, we're going to invite Carl Grant to come, and he's going to talk about the prodigal. Carl, God bless you.
Thank Praise God, praise God, praise God. I made a joke this afternoon with a few people. They asked me if I was nervous about tonight, and I said, well, I kind of just look at it this way. I'm talking to my family. And how can I be nervous when I'm talking to my family and in front of my family? The truth is, I am a little bit nervous, but I really do consider Calvary Gospel Church my second family, and I'm very blessed to have you guys in a part of my life and have you supporting me in coming back to church and in stepping out into ministry, and I really appreciate each and everybody in Calvary Gospel Church. Looking back on my life the last couple of years, if you were to tell me that I was going to grab the mic tonight and stand up and preach with my grandpa and my Uncle Roy, I would have told you that you were crazy. You know, I would have laughed in your face. You can be seated. I'm sorry. And so then you can understand why I thought it was even more crazy when a couple of years ago, I was living with a girlfriend at the time, and I'm going to get a little emotional. Just warn you, I'm kind of like my Uncle Roy. Get a little emotional, and I'm going to fight through some of the words, but I woke up in the middle of the night after having a dream. It was almost like a vision. And in that dream, I was standing up here and had all my tattoos and everything, and I was preaching with my Uncle Roy. And I thought, man, that's nuts. You got to be kidding me. Preaching? Me? Yeah, right. And then I went over to my Uncle Roy's house to paint some door frames, and he told me that he had the same dream. And as I stand here today, it's just a testimony of what God can do. God can and do, will do anything. Tonight I'm talking about the prodigal son, and I'm going to break it up into four states of mind of the prodigal son. Luke 15:12, and the younger, we go to the first, Luke 15:11. Sorry. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of the two, verse 12, and the younger of the two said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided them unto them his living. We focus first on this parable at the manner in which the son approached his father. The Bible doesn't say that the son approached his father with a question. He didn't approach his father and say, hey, Dad, can I have the portion of goods that falleth to me? He didn't approach his father and say, hey, Dad, I feel that I'm ready as a man to go out into the world on my own, and I'd like the portion of goods that falleth unto me. The Bible says that he went to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. He didn't come to his father with a request. He didn't come to his father with a question. He came to his father with a demand. He came to his father with disrespect, with his own self in mind. He could have very well just gone up and said, Dad, I don't care what you think. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how this decision affects you. Give me my portion of goods. It's my way or the highway. And he took his goods and he went the highway. And in that scripture, we get our first state of mind, and that's a selfish state of mind. I look upon my own life, and I think I can look back, and the very moment in time in which I turn my back from God is when I pulled my focus off of my father, off of my father's wants and my father's wishes in my life, and I put it on myself. And a self of entitlement was born. Just like in the prodigal son's mind, a self-entitlement was born. Somewhere along the line, he pulled his mind off of what his father wanted for him. He pulled his mind off of his father's wishes in his life, and he put it on himself. And I don't want to ruffle a few feathers in the church tonight, but church, we can do that here. We can carry that same sense of entitlement into church with us each and every Sunday. Some of us come to church with a mindset of like, what can church do for me? What's in it for me? I come to church. I pay my tithes. I come every Sunday, every other once in a while. What's in it for me? And you can't live like that. You cannot serve God and have your mind focused on yourself. You can't serve the Lord wholeheartedly with a selfish state of mind. It's impossible. It can't happen. And so like the prodigal, like the scripture says, the prodigal, he went his own way after his father divided the portion unto him. He went his own way, much like in my own life. I got tired of being preached at. I got tired of people coming up to me, inserting their wisdom or correction in my life. I had my mind focused on myself, and what I wanted to do was the best thing to do for me in my life at the time, and so I left. I went out into the world. And the next state of mind is an ignorant state of mind. There's a saying that says, ignorance is bliss. And in the road of taking the road of a prodigal, we choose to adapt to these mind states of mind. We choose selfishness and we choose ignorance. Ignorance, the word ignorance in Webster's dictionary is, it means destitute of knowledge, and destitute is lacking. And I don't feel that the prodigal son was lacking knowledge. I feel that he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that the way that he was going to be living was wrong. He knew that the way that he was going to be living was unwise. But he chose ignorance. He chose to be ignorant. And I went out in the world after I left church, and I chose ignorance. I grew up in church. I grew up with men like these and men like Dave Punzel and teaching me constantly, instilling morals, women like my mother, instilling morals and guidelines into my life, and I chose ignorance. I knew what I should be doing in my life. I knew the way that I should go. I knew the way that my father wanted me to go, but I put ignorance on. I put a mask of ignorance over my life, and I went out, and the Bible says that the prodigal son went out, and he spent lavishly on riotous living. He did what he wanted. He put on that mask of ignorance and he went. In my own life, I just went. You know, I partied. I drank until I couldn't drink anymore. I consumed a disgusting, as I look back on my life at this point with this state of mind, I consumed a disgusting amount of drugs. I sold drugs. I had money. I had all the money I wanted. I had the life that I wanted, and that made me happy. But I think we can all raise our hands and say that we've taken Advil before. Advil's got a candy coating on it. If you've taken Advil, you know that there's a candy coating on it. And if you hold that Advil in your mouth for too long, the candy coating begins to wear off, and it leaves a nasty taste in your mouth. And after time, living the way that I was living and partaking in the things that I was partaking in, the candy coating that the devil puts on the world began to wear off. That blindfold of ignorance that I put on myself got pulled off when that candy coating came off, and it left a nasty taste in my mouth. And in the parable, it says that the prodigal son, he spent and lived riotous living until there was a famine in the land, and he began to want. And church, when that candy coating wore off, I began to want. I knew exactly what I had to do to fix what I had done, and I believe the prodigal son did too. It says that he went and worked. He went and joined himself to a citizen in the country that he was in and worked on his field with the swine. When he began to want, I believe that he knew exactly where he needed to go to get what he needed. He knew exactly where he needed to go to fix the mess that he had made, to his father's house. But he chose the third state, and that's the state of denial. He didn't want to admit, see, that the life that he had been living was wrong. He didn't want to admit that, hey, maybe dad was right. You know, all along, sometimes as kids, you know, our fathers insert correction into our lives, and later on we find out dad was right, you know. But he didn't want that. And I was in a state of denial when I began to want, and I went to a couple other churches here and there, and they didn't have what I needed. It wasn't compared to the Father's house that I knew. And I turned heavier into drinking and drugs and tried to fill the void that way. I was in a state of denial. Can we bring up Luke 15:18? Oh, Jesus. And then we come to our last state of mind, and it's the most crucial state of mind, and that's a repentant state of mind. Luke 15, I will arise and go unto my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. See, the prodigal son came to this realization when he had attached himself to the citizen, and he was in denial until he realized, he looked around him and he realized where he was. He realized he was in the pig pen, eating from the slop. There's a time, the night before I decided to come to church, I had decided to go about a course of actions that would ultimately, in my hopes, end my life. I decided to consume the amount of drugs that I had in my possession entirely and drink a whole 175 bottle of tequila, which for a man, guy my size, that's quite an amount of alcohol. And I woke up, I passed out, thinking that the last breath I took would be my last. And I woke up a couple hours later, I was sober as the day I was born. And in that moment, I looked around and I said, I'm in the pig pen, eating up from the hog slop that the world has to offer. The state of denial turned into a repentant state when I came in through those doors. It's easy to go from the first state of mind, selfishness, to the second state of mind, ignorance, to the third state of mind, denial. But what's the hardest state of mind to push yourself into when you've left is the state of repentance. It's so hard for us as human beings with all of our pride wrapped in all of our flesh to wake up and realize, hey, I'm wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. The way that I'm living is not right. And the way that my Father has set out for me, that's the way to go. That's the way to live. That's what I should be doing. I don't want to say, I almost want to say, it doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what you've done, you can always come home, but in my own situation, I took words like that, that preachers spoke to me, and I used as such a beautiful truth, as such a sad excuse, not to go from a state of denial into a state of repentance. I used to sit, and I feel that there's some people in the house tonight, and you're at this point. I used to sit, and I used to, as the preacher used to speak to me, almost like he was directly speaking to me in my life, I would white-knuckle the pews. I would grip my jaw together so hard that when I went home, it hurt just trying to fight back the tears from conviction that God was laying on my life. Church's brother Roy begins to come out and speak his part. I'd like to leave to you. Don't waste another day. If you're at this point, don't waste another day. We hear all the time, I said it in my message in Ignite. We don't have all the time in the world, although we'd like to think that we do. You could hear a preacher get behind the pulpit and say, you can always come back, but that's not the truth. Because you can't always come back. Once the rapture happens, it's over. And we're in the last days. Don't waste another moment. Don't waste another day living in denial.
Now we have the older brother. And as Pastor stated, this parable is it's talking about, I look at it as conditions of the church. I was a prodigal for a portion of my life. And I was the older brother for a portion of my life. So I can kind of relate to both halves of this story. But if we look at the older brother, his life was very much entwined in the younger brother because they were brothers. I look at my brothers today, and it's hard for me to go back in my childhood and separate out myself because my brothers were very much a part of me. We did a lot of things together, and the same thing with my father. I can't go in my life and say I'm going to separate my father out from my life. So as I begin to speak to you here tonight for the next few minutes, I want to make reference to the younger brother and to the father because the older brother was kind of in the middle of this. So when you look at this, the scripture, it tells us that the older brother never left home. The older brother was always there. He was always in the father's house. He stayed in the father's house. Now, when you look at your life, if you're here tonight and you've never strayed, if you were born and raised in Pentecost and you've never strayed, or maybe you've been here for years and years and years and you don't remember what life was like before you got here, that's where the older brother was. The older brother never experienced anything like the younger brother. The older brother was, I would consider the older brother like Old Faithful. You go out west in Wyoming and you see that guys are Old Faithful, and I think it's every 44 minutes you can count on Old Faithful to blow up. So the older brother was always there. He didn't smoke, he didn't chew, and he didn't run around with those who do. He was faithful. He didn't do any of the drugs. He didn't get involved in any of the gambling. He didn't run around in his life with riotous living and with wild women. He was always there. He couldn't stand to be around people that had that kind of baggage attached to them. He liked it in the Father's house. He felt comfortable in the Father's house. He couldn't stand being around messed up people. He didn't like it when messed up people come to the door. He just liked to be there. He couldn't stand all of that stuff. He hung around, if I can use this, he hung around the holy people. He hung around the righteous people. That's what he was. That's who he was. He was the good son. He was the son that couldn't do anything wrong. He was faithful. He was always there. And that's the problem with the older brother, is he was just always there. He was saved and he was sanctified, and he may have been at one time full of the Spirit, but the problem was he was just there. There wasn't anything else to him. He was just there. There was no substance to him. When we read about this in the parable about this, it doesn't tell us much about what the older brother did while younger brother was away. He was just there. He was there. And in a way, if I can approach it this way, he was just taking up space. He was taking up a bedroom. He was just living. He was taking up a place at the table. He was taking up a place out in the field. He never went anywhere. He never got anything done. He never did anything to help anybody. He never tried to change anything. He was just there. That's the older brother. But you see, the older brother was still the father's son. He still had a connection to the father. But you see, now the whole story has changed because younger brother, the prodigal, has come home. And what happens when the prodigal comes home is the older brother cops an attitude. He gets upset. There's a rift that begins to grow instantly between the two. And we read about the older brother as he comes in from the field. The older brother, he grew angry. He wasn't happy that younger brother would come home. He was mad. He was very mad, very upset. And sometimes, I may meddle a little bit here if it's all right, because this is what the parable is for. Sometimes we as the church, sometimes we as the older brother, we seem to love it more sometimes when the prodigals in our families or in our church or in our lives are out in the hog pen and the slop pen of life than we do when they come in. Now hear me now, because like I said, I've been on both sides of this equation, so I know what I'm talking about here tonight. We try to take and we look back at the younger brother, and the younger brother is out there and he's in the slop and he's in all of this, and then he comes home. An older brother doesn't like that. He's upset. He's upset that younger brother is now back at church. Because you see, when younger brother was gone, when younger brother was away, it made older brother look pretty good. You see, he didn't have to necessarily live up to all the expectations of the father. But when younger brother comes home, that changed it. Now, look at the attitude of the older brother. Just look at him. He comes in from the field, and the first thing he says is, "Hey, what's going on? I hear some music being played. They're having a party here. I didn't know anything about a party. I've been out just meandering around the back 40. Nobody told me about anything. What's going on here? All of this dancing, all of this singing. What's going on?" We look here at the church, and we have our prodigals that come in. Sometimes we have that same attitude. What's going on here? How dare they get up in the front and raise their hands and jump around and run around this church and dance and sing in the choir, get behind a pulpit and attempt to preach? How dare they do that? What do they think they're doing? They were just out in the hog pen and the slap pen of life, and now they're back. I've never left this place. You hear me now? So here we have the younger brother. He's been out there in the hog pen. They haven't heard from him for months. Maybe even years went by. We don't know how long went by, how long this parable went, how much time it covered. We don't know how much trouble he was in. They didn't even know. Older brother didn't even know if younger brother was dead or alive. And here he comes walking down the road, head hung low. He's hungry. He stinks. He's got flies buzzing around his head. He's muddy, bruised, tattered, and torn. But he's coming back to our house. He's coming back to my house, to the Father's house. How dare he come back? He's coming back for the safety. He's coming back for the shelter and the protection of the Father's house. That's why he's coming back. Because the world has beat him senseless. And he's coming back. But you see, the problem is sometimes when you try to do the right thing, sometimes when you try to make the right choices, people get angry with you. People do. They get upset. I've had people that attended this church when I came back from my 13-year hiatus get angry at me. Say, what do you think you're trying to do? What do you think you're trying to prove? But you see, back in the Father's house. So here the Father, he's excited. He kills the fatted calf. He puts a robe on my brother. I can't believe it. He puts the family robe on him. He gives him the family ring. When he left, he had a ring. He probably hocked it for some prostitute. Who knows? What does he care? He gives him the family ring, and he throws a party for him. He throws a party for him. So the elder brother says to the servant, I'm not going in there. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care if younger brother's home. I don't care where he's been or what he's done. I ain't going in. So he sits out there, folds his hands, and pouts. And then the father comes out. Now I can understand, and I can understand and hear what my father would have to say. He'd probably slap me on the back of the head and say, listen, son, boy, what in the world is wrong with you? I raised you better than this. I put more of you in. There's more of you in there than this. What kind of attitude is this? This is younger brother we're talking about. And the older brother, he looks at the father, and he has this conversation with the father. And he looks at the father, and he says, you know what, father? He says, I have been here for all of these years. I have been faithful to you for all of these years. I've never done anything that younger brother has done. And yet you have never done never one time ever thrown a party for me, never killed a fatted calf for me. You never did anything for me at all. Now listen, you got to listen close to the wisdom of the father, what the father said to the older brother. I can imagine my father looking at me and saying, Roy Howard Grant, what in the world are you talking about? What are you talking about? Son, you have been here for weeks, you have been here for months, and you have been here for years. And you have been faithful, and you have been able to partake of all of the blessings that this house, that this church, that this body of Christ has to offer you. You're able to partake of all of the great preaching. You're able to partake of all the great teaching. You're able to partake of all of the singing. You're able to partake of all the worship and all the prayer and everything that goes on in this house. You come here week after week, month after month, year after year. You've jumped, you've danced, you shouted, you sang until you couldn't sing anymore. Listen, son, listen to me. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Do you not understand the blessings of this house? Everything, look around you, son. The barns are yours. The cattle is yours. The sheep are yours. The goats are yours. The house is yours. The lakes are yours. The land, the equipment, everything around you is yours.
Well, listen to what the father has to say in closing here, my part. He looks at the son and he said, listen, son, listen, don't you dare blame me because you have refused to partake of the benefits of my house. You have refused to partake of the benefits of my house. Pastor.
You know, one good thing about the Father, and of course the Father, we're talking about God. God has the ability to separate the sin from the sinner. We know according to Scripture that God hates sin, but he came to give his life for sinners. One of the hardest things about parenting is finding the ability to separate the offense from the offender. And some things have to be taken care of. But it is so difficult to put yourself in a position with God, and that is that you love the offender, but you hate the offense. God is never weak on sin, never. But there's one thing that I appreciate most about God, and that is, well, let's preface that by saying, you have heard me make this statement, success with God is never determined by any one great thing that you do. But success with God is predicated upon continual occurrences. In other words, it's not how loud you sing tonight, it's not how long you prayed last week, it's not what you do tomorrow. But success with God is predicated upon continual occurrence. In other words, God defines a person by looking at his whole life. Now, I want to make this statement, and I don't want you to forget this ever. With God, your life is never defined by one bad segment, especially the segment that he forgives and forgets. So when we see Carl Grant, and sometimes we see him around here working, we see all these tattoos, it reminds us of his past lifestyle. But this is something that God says, I forgot. And aren't you glad that God does not define your life by some horrible mistake that you make? the love of the Father. He always looked out and he waited for the time when his son would come home. And yet the Father was well aware that he didn't have to give him anything when he left. But there's one thing that's great about God, and that is that God has given us the power to choose. This man made a very unwise choice. And I have made unwise choices in my life. I have made some very dumb mistakes. But God has given us the power to choose. He's even given us the power to choose to go to hell if we want to. He's given us the power to be unhappy if that's what we want. And he's willing to cut us loose and let us go. Now, ideally, he doesn't want that to happen. But he does give us the power to make bad decisions. That's the way life is. So I think we can truthfully say that when we all gather on heaven's shore, that there will not be one person there who doesn't want to be there. That everybody that makes heaven will be there because they chose to be there. I think of grace when I think of the Father. God's favor. God favors us. But ideally, he wants us to favor him also. David, in his Psalms, especially in the 100 to 150 Psalm, he uses the phrase, "I will bless the Lord always." Now, we quite often pray, "God, show me favor. God, bless me." But David, a man after God's own heart, had reached the point. He says, "I'm going to forget about God blessing me. I'm going to favor God. I'm going to bless God." And so that's exactly what he started doing. But you know, the thing about it is, we live in a world that's not perfect. And sometimes we do make mistakes. We go astray. But please understand that the Father continues to love us. The Father, by nature, wants to do good to every person that he possibly can. He does not love us less simply because we left him. And if I'm speaking to someone here tonight that's left the Father's grace or the Father's household, please understand, he's waiting for you. And he's willing to let you make the mistake, but he's willing to take you back. He was willing to welcome the son back. He was willing to forgive him. And he was happy to throw a big party for him. I think of the young ones coming to the Lord, and Roy preached on this for some time. But I have actually had people come up to me and say, "Why do we make such a fuss over the new ones coming in? Isn't this unfair to the people who've been here for years?" But you notice in these parables, especially the first two, I think we can see it in the third one. There is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance. And if all of heaven is rejoicing over a soul that comes to him, how much more should we be rejoicing here on earth when a sinner comes home? The elder son, he didn't love him less or love him more than he loved the younger son. And the thing about it is, he wanted this younger son to rejoice. What I get out of this is, all these things are yours. In other words, you could have had your own party anytime you wanted it. I see these young ones down here hopping around and having a party. Listen, you can hop around and have your party anytime you want to have your party. Yes. Because God wants us all to rejoice over the fact that we're in his kingdom. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time and thank you Brother Carl for an outstanding job, and Pastor Roy for an outstanding job. And as our praise singers come, I want to ask you this. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to live in the Father's house forever? How do you get to heaven? Think about this. Now, how do you get to heaven? You know how you get to heaven? You inherit heaven. The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, you have to be His son in order to inherit His kingdom. How do you become His son? By being born into His kingdom. So you must first repent of all of the evil that you've done, of all the sins that you've committed. And I know it's hard to call them all one by one. You never do that. So you just have to lump them all together and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And after you have sinned, it's then time to have your sins washed away in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and baptism. And after that, be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're born of His Spirit. And the Spirit of God cries out within us, Abba, Father. That is, Father, Father. In other words, we're His children. Now we're ready to go to heaven. Why? Because we're His son, and we will inherit His kingdom. What did Jesus say before He left? It is my good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. You want to go to heaven tonight?